floor, why don't you just praise him in his presence? Hallelujah. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Worship your King. Worship your Savior. Worship your Lord. Worship your Master. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we glorify your name. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Father, we thank you for the release of your Spirit in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching hearts, touching minds, breaking the rigid hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord, even before the word is even shared, Lord, you're moving upon the hearts of your people. Lord, you are touching the hearts of your people. Some of us are crying. Some of us are laughing. Some of us are full of peace and calmness and tranquility. Lord, you are doing this by the move of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. And we magnify your name. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Debbie, when you, that word that you released, even before you released that word, I was standing there probably 20 minutes ago before you released that word, and I really felt the Lord was saying by his Spirit, as you mentioned, the Spirit, that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon those who desire the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And when you mentioned that, and you shared that, I just felt in my heart that's what God was saying. So as we are here, we're going to minister from the Word of God, and a little while later, I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to assist me, so that we can just pray for people to receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The theme of my message today is Christ, our cornerstone. Praise God.
Amen.
Christ, our cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Praise the name of the Lord. And I thank God for the privilege of being in his house, primarily first, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. I thank God for Jesus, having Jesus in your life at a time and age such as this. And I thank God for my love for the scriptures, my love for the Bible. It's so important, saints, today that you have to have a prioritize a day, prioritize a time to read the Word of God. Praise God. On Tuesday nights, there is Bible study. Friday nights, there's prayer meeting at Eden Christian Center. And I just want to say that in these dark days, the days are getting darker. They're not getting lighter, they're getting darker. People are going into churches and shooting people in the church. And before I go to scriptures again, I want to say a little bit about that, because I watched a documentary. And in that documentary, it showed these 10 people attending the church for Bible study. And while they were there, this young guy came in as well, because they had CCTV camera, and he walked in. Somehow the pastor kind of made a beeline for him to sit with him during the course of the Bible study. And while they were having this Bible study, the guy was sitting there next to the pastor. And it was a point of time when they began to pray that the guy started shooting. The first person he shot was the pastor. And the assistant pastor came to him and said, "You shot my pastor," and he shot him as well. And it was just a shooting spree within that church. People started to hide and underneath the tables of that church. And one old lady that was underneath the chair, the guy came over and shot 77 bullets into that woman. Now, when this, in the aftermath of all of this, when the police arrived, even the police, when they heard the information that there was a shooting in the church, they just didn't believe it, because a place where it was in America called Charleston, you know, these things just don't happen. And so when the policeman, and where the church was, it was like, they had like a basement place where they met. So the police had to go down there, not knowing whether the shooter was still in the church. So he's going into the church, and as he's walking into the church, people are shot, coming to the police officer. And the police officer cannot treat them while they're coming to them, because of the fact that he's still concerned if the shooter is still in the building. The aftermath of that was there came a court case. And during that court case, during the period of that court case, they had the guy on CCTV. He wasn't actually in court, but they had on CCTV. He had two guards next to him. And the judge said something. This is what the judge said. Does anybody from this family want to say anything to this guy who is guilty of these acts? One woman got up, and, you know, the thing about, I find, with serving the Lord and Christianity in itself, you begin to find out who the real people are when they emerge in these events. Now, and some of the things they say doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Like, for example, the woman come up and she said, I just want to say, I don't know why you did this. You're speaking to him. I don't know why you did this. But the Lord is telling me that I forgive you. And I'm thinking, I'm watching this program. I'm saying, what? And this other gentleman, whose wife was teaching the Bible study, he was concerned, obviously, for his wife at the time, and she also died. And his daughter said to him, Dad, are you going to the court? The dad said, no, I'm not going. So the daughter said, well, Dad, if you're not going, I'm not going either. Then he said, okay, I'll go to the court, because he didn't want to face this guy. He had a lot of anger. He got to the court. He took his seat. And one of the most, watching that documentary was a really powerful thing for me. He said that he knew, he heard the voice of God, the same voice that always speaks to him. And God told him to go up and say something. He said he didn't know what he was going to say. So when the same judge said, if anybody else has anything to say, this guy, he gets up, he looks at the guy, and he says, I'm telling you, my son, you need to repent. You need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you don't, you're going to hell. I don't know what kind of darkness has come into your life, but one thing I can say, this is your option now. And he took his seat. And when I concluded that, when I finished watching that documentary, I was so amazed how we, see, because forgiveness, for some of us, we feel that forgiveness is weakness. No, it's not. Forgiveness is power. The guy said that when he came and said that and he took his seat, he said all the anger, all the resentment, all the hatred he had for that guy left. And a peace came upon him like he never knew. Praise God. And this is the thing, because like kindness is a very powerful thing to have. Meekness is also a very powerful attribute to have from the Lord. These are things that, like for example, in my workplace, I had a guy say to me, Murray, you're too kind. And I realized that because I'm not swearing, because I'm not swearing like you, I'm not cursing like you, I'm not talking about the kind of lifestyle I'm living during the course of the weekend to the week. You know what? I'd rather be kind. Praise God. You know, there's an old T-shirt that somebody wore, and that was, "I am a fool for Christ." And behind that T-shirt is, "Whose fool are you? Whose fool are you?" So, saints, it's important for us to have Christ as our foundation stone, praise God. I really had to share that to you because we are living in a day and we are living in a time where the scriptures, we must be established in the word of the living God, praise God. And one of the things that Pastor Tolly said, he said, ask God to give you an experience, praise God. And that experience comes through hearing the word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you personally, allowing your conscience free from guilt, allowing the fact that Christ died for you, he paid a price for you, you are no longer guilty, you are now justified in his presence, praise God. The Bible says that we are no longer in darkness. Read from chapter 2, from 1 Peter. It says, wherefore, or even before I read that, let's just go up to verse 23, 24, 25, praise God. Hallelujah. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word, praise God, which by the gospel is preached unto you. I mean, Peter wrote two letters. The Bible scholars say that this letter was actually written by Silvanus. But he wrote two. And you know what? I believe that Peter is qualified to speak to us today. Praise God. I believe he's qualified to. Because this is the man that said to Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Lord, you don't know what my lifestyle is like. Please get away from me. But Jesus still had an experience that he wanted to share to Peter. This is the same person who denied the Lord before the cock crow three times. This is the same person that Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Praise God. This is the same person where Jesus took Peter, James, and John and took them in the place of transfiguration, where he had that almighty experience. And Peter even talks about it in his letters. And he's saying how important that experience made him to understand Christ to a certain extent. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, praise God. Every glory of man is coming down today, praise God. Everything that we are promoting, everything that we find that is a priority, will no longer become a priority anymore because everything is coming to an end. Now, do we still look after our children? Yes. Do we still love our wife? Yes. Do we still love our husband? Yes. Do we still do the normal things that we're meant to be doing? Yes, we do. But at the same time, our focus should be on the word of God. Our focus should be on our time with the scriptures. And worship also should be a part of that. Praise God. And Peter was saying, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And I'm not even talking about the meat yet. This is about the milk, praise God. And the Bible talks about it. Peter said it is the sincere milk of the word. And I really believe that how sometimes how people receive the word shows how you can grow and how you can develop in the word. You know, I have a friend who, you know, he came to know the Lord. He goes to another church, and he's gone sideways now because of the fact that he's been distracted by other teachings. And Peter, again, warned us about false teachings, false prophets. Throughout his letters, there's a lot of, it's like you can almost smell the smoke with some of the warnings that Peter is giving. But Peter is exhorting the newborn babe, saying, desire the sincere milk of the word. See, when the word comes, if you don't have a desire, you're not going to grow if you don't have that sincere desire, praise God. It's like a pull and tug thing, you know? When the word of God is being preached, when the word of God is being exhorted, when the word of God is coming to you in a way that you know that's going to change your life, you must have a desire for it. And Jesus mentioned about the fact that the word of God falls in three category grounds. You know, there's a ground that is stony hearted, the ground that is full of cares, the ground that is also productive. You know, Jesus spoke about the way the word of God comes and how important it is as believers, how important it is for us to hold that word and get that word to get into our spirit, into our mind, so that we can walk right, so that we can think right, that we can think according to the word of God, praise God. That ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Praise God. I'm sure some of us can say that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? I said, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Praise God. Hallelujah. To whom coming, verse 4, as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, which is what we were doing earlier. Praise God. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, verse 6. Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Praise God. See, Christ is the chief cornerstone. And him being the chief cornerstone, everything comes into alignment with him being the chief cornerstone. The foundation of our life is so important. I remember one day, me and my twin brother, we was in church, and we really had a strong desire for the things of God. And those were the days when my pastor used to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And we know we came to church, we didn't know what this was going to happen to us. The pastor called us out, and we both were standing on each aisle, and the pastor said to us that the Lord said, I'm sending you this, that your, this is the foundation of your life is important for me to cause you to grow. And that really became an impact in my life, even today as a Christian. It's so important, the foundation of your Christian life. Today, there's so much teaching going on, false teaching, mind you. There's so much false teaching going on around that it's so important for us to be established in the truth that we know, praise God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important. I mean, a lot of people say they love Jesus, but you know, you can be deceived. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, wisdom teaches us that we cannot be deceived. If we apply our hearts unto wisdom, if we continually apply our hearts unto wisdom, if we continually fellowship with each other, because fellowship is also important. You cannot grow in isolation. totally impossible. You know, that's why God has established pastors. That's why God has established leaders. That's why God has established prophets. You know, God has established these ministries so that the ministry could grow, that the ministry can develop, and that the ministry, that we can have love for each other, that even when we, you know, tread on each other's corn, we can forgive each other as well. Praise God. Because being a Christian is not your own, having your own ideas, you know, and having, when Jesus was talking about, when Jesus was speaking in the month of the Sermon on the Mount, and he was explaining, blessed are those who are doing this, blessed are, these are his characteristics. These are characteristics that we should have, you know? And God wants us to be established in his word. But in order for us to be established in his word, we must understand the foundation that has been laid. And the foundation that has been laid is Jesus Christ. Praise God. And verse 5 tells us that you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now look what the scripture says. It says it's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, this is the thing about us. We've got to learn. I just believe this. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. If the Lord has forgiven you, learn to forgive yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, how can you go further? You have the devil battering your head, reminding you of your past. And when the Lord has forgiven you of your past, the scripture says here that our sacrifices are acceptable to God. That literally is acceptable to God. Now, Jesus also had a teaching, a very practical teaching, but a very powerful teaching. Jesus says, before you pray, forgive. He says, before you say, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to praise him, I'm going to magnify him, forgive. Now, let's just pause right now and ask ourselves a question. Who are we angry at? Who are we angry with? Is there anybody that you are angry with that you haven't forgiven? It could be your employer. It could be somebody in university. It could be your family member. Is there anybody that has done you aught that you need to say, I forgive you? Because that is our release. That is so important. So important. And you know, if you have a lot of enemies, then let me tell you something right now. You're going to need to do a lot of forgiving. Don't talk about the fact that you've got the power of God in your life. Don't talk about the fact that you've got the anointing of God in your life. No. Let the rubber hit the road. And how it hits the road is in these kind of practicalities. And I've realized that because, you know, I've met Christians. And I've met Christians who, in their prayers, their prayers seem to be more destructive for the person instead of praying that God will forgive that person. You know, we're forgetting who our enemy is. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And this is what I'm saying. These people who were shut up, their families were shut up, they came and said, I forgive you. That's very hard. Now, you might say, I couldn't do that. Yes, I know we couldn't do that. But there comes a point in our own personal life that we're going to have to practice forgiveness. Whether you like it or not, it's going to come your way. And that's the proof of the character of Christ in your life. And it's also proof of the graciousness of God in your life. And Jesus said that when men see this, they will glorify the Father for it. Praise God. So we have a cornerstone that is precious, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, verse 7, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, praise God. Sometimes with the teaching of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel, sometimes some people stumble. And the stumbling is not because of lack of understanding. Sometimes the stumbling is because of rebellion. People don't want to live for Christ today. People, you know, Jesus had 60 disciples. And he ended up with 12. Why? Because when Jesus started to talk about, if you drink of my blood, if you eat of my flesh, you'll have no part of me. They're saying, what the world is this man talking about? I don't want to hang around this guy. You know? And this is the thing, because now the teaching of Christ becomes more intimate. It becomes more, well, most of us would say deep. But it's not really deep, it's really practical. It's really practical. Because now this same Peter who wrote this, this is the same Peter that took his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus during the time when Jesus was being arrested. This is the same Peter, like I said, that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. This is the same Peter that said, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Do you know what kind of life I've been living? I am a sinful man. But Jesus still gave him an experience, praise God. And that experience changed his life. And God wants to give us that experience again. Hallelujah. But we have to understand that the foundation of our life is Christ. Christ is our rock, praise God. He is not a rock of offense for us. He's a rock of delight for us, praise God. Hallelujah. But for some, verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. These are not people who are struggling to understand the word. That's not what Peter is saying here. Those people will always be helped. But Peter's talking about, these are people who rebel against the word. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And this is where our greatest shout comes, praise God. But you are a chosen generation, praise God. A royal priesthood, praise God. An holy nation. A peculiar people, or a different people, praise God. In the Amplified version, it says a different species that's never been here before, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, we are a different species that's never been here before. That's why when you're at work, people are looking at you in a peculiar way. What is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this woman? They're trying to understand. They're trying to figure out in their natural mind the life that you are living for Christ. Praise God. But God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. Hallelujah, which in time past, well, we were not a people, but we are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. One of the things that happened during our prayer meeting, when Sister Debbie was leading it, she kept on talking about the mercy of God. She kept on saying the fact that we did not deserve this. And you know, that's a good standpoint, praise God. That's a good standpoint to get grace. One another good standpoint to get grace is to humble yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. He fights with proud people, praise God. And that's why we struggle. Are we struggling because we are proud? Are we struggling because we have unforgiveness in our life? Are we struggling because we are bad-mouthing people? We double-minded, we're two-faced, we're not sure who we are in Christ. And God wants to know who we are through the foundation that he has laid, praise God. And this is our spiritual DNA. Praise God. You are a chosen generation. Turn to somebody and say, you are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say again, say, you are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I know this one won't wash with you, because when it comes to holiness, people say, oh man, I'm not holy. I'm not holy. But listen, as we've just said, it's not because of us. It's because of Christ. So turn to somebody and say, we are a holy nation. Holy nation, Sister Christine. Praise God. And we are a peculiar people. People can't figure us out because we are people of faith. Praise God. That you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. Now, are we out of this darkness? Are we out of the darkness? Now, you know, okay, let's think about this here. Because in the natural, I would say I'm not out of this darkness. In the natural, in my own rational thinking. But it's not because of what I think. It's because of what Christ has done. Now, if I get my faith level up and I apply my faith level to the Word of God, and the Word of God says that who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, then guess what? It's time for me to rejoice, praise God. It's time for me to praise the name of the living God. It's time for me to sing praises unto God. You might say, but how can you sing praises? I haven't even got a voice. It's not the fact that you've got a voice to sing or whether you haven't got a voice to sing. Just sing praises unto Him. Sing praises unto Him because He has done great things for you, whereof we are glad. We are glad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Peter is continually saying that in time past, we were not a people. But we are now the people of God. There were three categories that in the Acts of the Apostle that the church then, the leadership then, said to the Gentiles, these are three things you have to do. He said, don't pressure them. Don't pressure these people to be Jewish. But these are three things. Number one, abstain from fornication. Number two, stop blood sacrificing. And number three, do not worship idols. And those three things are the three things that are part of the Gentile race. And we were Gentiles before we came to Christ. We weren't Jewish. If anybody's Jewish, please stand up. God bless you. But for those of us who are Gentiles, the fact of the matter is that God made a way for us because God gave us mercy, praise God. We have obtained mercy. And because we have obtained mercy, we have obtained light from darkness, and we have come into His marvelous life. Verse 10, which in time past we were not a people, but we are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you. Verse 11, Peter's still speaking. He's just, he's just putting it out there, man. He's just encouraging. He's saying some truthful things. He's not holding back. He's saying, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which I said previously, which they shall behold, shall glorify God in the day of visitation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to verse 9 again, and I'll close. But you are. See, because it's very important for us that the Bible is known as a mirror. It's a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror to us. Just like in the natural, we look into our mirror to put on our clothes and everything. But you cannot leave the mirror and don't know who you are, praise God. just totally impossible. You've got to be conscious of what you've put on. You've got to be conscious, you know, how your hair looks, how your clothes look. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God is a mirror to us. And this is the reason why I ask you to declare verse 9. Because verse 9 is very important. When we look at the mirror states who we are, praise God. The mirror states who we are, but we need to confess who we are, praise God. You are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. And this is so important, brothers and sisters, because that is the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation of our life. Praise God. The Word of God is two things. The Word of God is the Rhema, and the Word of God is the Logos. The Logos meaning that it's God is self-existent. God was always self-existent before anything that was made. So He's Logos. Praise God. But when God speaks, as Pastor Brian says, when God speaks, it becomes the Rhema, praise God. It becomes the Rhema of God. And that's why God said, let there be light, and there was light, praise God. Because God is now in the business of creating. And so it is, the Bible says that the same God who said, let there be light, He has spoken into our hearts. He has created light in our hearts through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. Father, I humble myself before you. And I thank you, Lord, that during the course of this week, Lord, may we have a new desire for your word, a new desire for the scriptures, a new desire for the Bible, a new desire for fellowship, a new desire for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us not live in isolation. But Lord, as your word says, as the day is approaching and as the day is getting darker and darker, Lord, let us not neglect the assembling of ourselves. Lord, let us recognize that you have placed pastors within the body of Christ. Lord, let us recognize that you have placed a fivefold ministry, Lord, to mature the body of Christ. Father, these are the gifts that you left through Jesus Christ, your Son, after his resurrection. Lord, you gave gifts unto men. Lord, you gave gifts unto men. And right now, fathers, we sit in your presence. May your word find its rightful place in our hearts and our minds and our spirit, Lord. Lord, let us say, like the two men on Emmaus Road, did not our hearts burn within us? Spirit of the living God. 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 Thank you. While your head is bowed right now. From what I heard earlier in my spirit, which Sister Debbie confirmed, if you would like to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've never received the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, just please make your way down to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Also, as well, I'm going to take this opportunity that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord is here to give you so much mercy, so much peace, so much joy, so much love. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior?